Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I like that promo during the break about us going to Detroit.
Yeah, man. It's not far away. It's not that far away. It's a week from Thursday that we're in Detroit, dude.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
And I've never been on a road trip with you and Shane in Porth.
That's true.
How about the whole bathroom thing?
You're very concerned about one bathroom.
Are you not?
In the Airbnb.
Well, looky here, Chad. For the entire period you're in my room, I better not catch you standing up peeing. You sit down when you pee, you understand?
Four grown men in a four-bedroom house with one bathroom?
Yeah, it's not a great idea.
I thought that it was what the old-timers used to call cabin fever, kind of claustrophobic reaction which can occur when people are shut in together over long periods of time.
I'm not blaming Ryan for booking the wrong one.
I'll go ahead and blame Ryan.
No, it's not his fault.
I know.
Ryan Parth, look at Ryan Parth and Shane Reardon sitting down and they both got beards. Look at those guys. Ryan Parth.
I think it is. I think it qualifies.
It's no one's fault other than everybody's.
Well, I mean, Porth, he comes from Nashville.
Right, where everything is much slower.
Yeah, and I believe he just had like a horse and buggy there, right? I don't believe he owned a car when he lived down there.
That's why he was fine. He was like, one bathroom?
That's so many.
that's one more than I grew up with.
Is there a light in there?
Okay, that's okay, because making a happy home isn't like flipping on a light switch.
The light switch?
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with
one bathroom.
I couldn't believe how small a house.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Jim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Dan Bernstein's disbelief at Terry Bors' childhood home always has a purpose.
Is that tremendous? It's just such a good callback.
Yes, Dan.
Can't believe how people unlike me have lived. I just can't believe it.
It was my biggest takeaway from reading your whole book is how I worked with you for many, many years. We've had hundreds, if not, we've had thousands of hours of conversation. But my big takeaway.
I couldn't believe how small a house you grew up in.
And yet you're able to have conversations. You're able to fully function as a person. Father!
It's just so surprising.
It is.
The size of our guest house.
I hold to my original idea for our Airbnb in Detroit, which is that we rent a porta potty and just put it in the back as an added outhouse type situation, whether it's a Johnny on the Spot or a Drop Zone or some other cleverly named porta potty.
A porta potty?
Maybe he owns one. Hey, guys, I brought my own porta potty.
Well, it'd have to be in your guys' car, right? You have to bring it with.
Put it on the roof.
How the hell do you get a porta potty?
Isn't any toilet Ryan Porth owns a porta potty?
It is.
So I bet he has at least two.
Anyone that he uses. That's true. He just grabbed one of the home porta potties. But we got a few days to work on this and sort it all out.
I think we've mastered it.
You think so?
I think we've figured it out.
Okay.
Flush out the ideas. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Shane.
I don't have another one.
Who's groaning at who? Now, you get a groan, and you get to groan.
I like the idea of Porth hearing that and be like, oh, that segment took a turn and got away from us. No, it didn't. We were really happy with how it went.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how we wanted it to go.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Nailed it. Welcome really to management life, baby.
Exactly. You can't say nothing.
Let's put Ryan's name in other household appliances.
Oh, interesting.
I'll have some for you later.
Wow, 5 o'clock hour. Yes, and. Love that.
We got cups tickets to give away today.
Oh, yeah, we do. All you got to do is be listening. And when you hear a Michael Bush home run at any point during the show.
Whoa, there's so many to choose from.
Yeah, it's been how many days in a row?
Five.
5 days in a row. So be the fifth caller when you hear 312-540-0670, when you hear a Michael Bush home run, it could be during the commercial, it could be coming out of the break, it could be when we're talking about it, but if you hear the audio of a Michael Bush home run, be the fifth caller to our contest line, and you can go to Cubs Marlins on Thursday.
So savvy listeners to the Parkins and Spiegel show yesterday heard us go down the list of those Cubs with a home run in five straight games. And Michael Bush then joined that group. And you saw that on Marquee. That was fun, man, to see him get it out of the way early like that.
Yes.
With a lot of energy and a lot of adrenaline going on. That was a great, crazy Cubs game. And we'll have a chance to talk about it with both Nico and Jed today, among other issues.
Yeah, I mean, Nico Horner's coming on at 2:30. Is it? He's had great moments. He's had awesome seasons. He won a Gold Glove. Has he had a game?
I feel like that was the Nico game. Even with all of Michael Bush, that was his game, wasn't it?
It definitely was his game. It's just because of how it happened late and what other guys on the – like, how many guys on the team score on that wild pitch? It's a small number. How many guys hit that ball? Maybe guys would be more disciplined to not swing at that ball.
If Javi were still here, is the answer to both questions.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like the Venn diagram of guy who would score from second and guy that would get a hit on that ball over 4 feet off the ground, StatCast had it as the third highest hit ball by any Cub since 2015. Morel and Wilson Contreras, the only guys who would hit a higher ball. I'm like, I think that might be Nico Horner might be the only name. Maybe Morel. Morel and Nico?
Yeah, I mean, the aggressiveness was just freaking awesome.
It was great.
The instincts on it were wonderful. I don't know if he's had another game. That time he called the grand slam play, thought that was a good call by him.
That was good. I mean, he's got a walk-off hit. I understand, but like a signature game. We'll ask him. Nico Horner before Jed Hoyer next on the score.
Leading off for the Parkins and Spiegel Show, number two. Nico Horner.
Nico Horner is on the show with us every Tuesday. And
oh, sick.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico on with Parkins and Spiegel. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair. He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
There's nothing wrong with Nico Horner.
Horner trying to get a big lead at second. Cubs down to their last chance. And Happ takes a wild pitch. The ball bounces away. Horner around third. He's going to try to score. The throw to the plate. He scores. He scores. The ball game is tied at two. Talkman goes to third. Alert heads up base running by Nico Horner. Good base coaching by Willie Harris.
Nico's just got to keep grinding and all the hits are going to come.
Line drive, base hit, right field. Grichik up with it. Only one will score. And it is 3-2. The Cubs with the lead as Nico comes through.
Cubs win the ball game. And a big win for this Cubs ball club as they beat the Diamondbacks by a score of 3-2. What a ball game.
Nico Horner with Perkins and Spiegel on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Tuesday at 2:30. That means we're joined by Nico Horner. You can see him on our Twitch stream and our YouTube stream. You should be following and subscribing to both. He's on the hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today.
Do you hear Pat Hughes' tone in there? He loves good base running.
Oh, Pat Hughes loves good base running.
He has always loved good base running. He was baseball aroused by Nico's base running efforts last night.
Nico,
Nothing like base running and backside singles to get people who've been in baseball a long time excited.
That is exactly right.
You're exactly right.
We've decided to call that the Nico game. What do you think of our creativity?
It was fun. It was fun. It felt a lot like some of those games we played in that stadium in September, of those just back and forth with crazy moments and stuff. So it was cool to come out on top of that one for sure.
So you have these signature plays in that game. Very, very unique. Not sure how many other guys on the team score from second there. Can you just take us through when you knew you were going to score on the wild pitch and how that went?
I mean, I saw the ball kick and the catcher go the other direction. So that was, I was ready from that point. I think I would have gone either way, but Willie was definitely getting down the line and, you know, not really a situation you usually pick up your third base coach or anything, but his and his enthusiasm definitely helped my confidence in it. So
that's what I was thinking. That's not really a third base coach play, right? So you're going either way in that spot.
I think I was going, but definitely noticed him sending me, so it helped me. Yeah.
So the ball kicks one direction, Moreno the catcher goes the other. You're like, oh, yeah. I have that extra split second. That makes sense. And just the head first slide, man. Were you a big slip and slide kid? Because it looked like
where does that come from? I don't know. It's just a lot of playing in the backyard, rolling around, whatever it is. Yep.
Yeah, it looked like have you ever done a tarp slide during a rain delay? It looked like you'd be a great tarp slider.
I think there was a tarp slide at one point in Double A, but I wasn't fun enough to partake, I think.
So you're running into the dugout and the arms are out wide. Were you signaling safe, or did you feel like you were flying doing the airplane on your way into the dugout after that run?
I think I was signaling safe, but it turned into more of I felt like I was levitating. Yes.
Levitating into the dugout. Oh, hell yeah. Cause that's ninth inning game tying run. On the road, I mean, that's big. That level of joy has to be way up there in terms of what you could possibly have during a ball game.
No, there's no better feeling than a moment like that and coming into the dugout and your whole team being fired up and stuff. I mean, that's what it's really all about. So that was definitely an all-time memory for sure.
I know you don't love talking about yourself, so we're going to continue here with Nico Horner. the single... I don't know if you saw it, but from StatCast, third highest hit ball by a Cub for a hit since they've been charting the data. It was about 4 1/3 feet, so 4 feet, 4 inches off the ground. Only Contreras and Morel have hit a ball higher off the ground for a hit. Have you watched the video and marveled at how high that pitch was?
Yeah, probably not. We got this metric called decision-making value of basically the choices that you make at the plate. And I think that one the metrics didn't love that decision. I think a little bit of an out of body thing, but definitely we'll take it. I was kind of laughing to myself, just looking back at it. I mean, it felt high when I swung, but I felt like I saw it pretty well. And then, no, that was pretty absurd. So hopefully take that one next time, but it's good.
Decision-making value. What goes into it? Like how do they quantify
just it? Like expected values of swing versus take on any given pitch based on the count and the pitch type and stuff like that.
Wow, that's interesting, because there's some stuff out there. There's a metric called Seager, named after Corey Seager, which an analyst invented, but you're talking about an in-house proprietary one. Because it's interesting, because your numbers of like whether you swing outside the zone are down. You're swinging less outside the strike zone this year than ever before. Is that a conscious choice as connected to that metric or whatever else you guys are talking about internally?
No, it's not a product of anything. You know, I think I have had some at bats where I've definitely seen the ball well and had some good takes, and then also sometimes I've been a bit passive in general. But no, that's not coming out of any specific game planning or anything. But I do think our team as a whole, like you saw yesterday, even a game when, their starter threw really well, just that getting him out after five is significant. And, you know, obviously you want to score 3 or 4 runs, but it just as a group, I feel like the quality of the bat has been pretty high.
Have we done enough about Nico himself? Is there more discomfort we could go
I
for?
I don't think it's discomfort. These are all positive things.
I think so too.
Did you enjoy wearing 42?
Yeah, it's always very cool. They give us like the cool cleats and stuff. Sometimes it's hard to wear like brand new equipment. Like there's usually like a break-in process, especially with shoes. So didn't rock the shoes, but it was it's always cool to wear 42 and see it all around baseball. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it was a pretty neat day all around baseball yesterday, and a great opportunity for people to do some research and learn about Jackie. That's for sure. What's it like in that dugout when Michael Bush homers again last night? What was that like?
I mean, it's cool to see teammates do you know, incredible things like that. Like Morel, I think, was the five games last year, or, you know, stretches that we've seen, you know, Saya doing incredible things. And it's just a just fun to see, especially for a guy that's, you know, proving himself at this level and to this team. And it's cool. I was saying yesterday to the media, just like, it's a hot streak, but he's like the opposite of like a roller coaster type of person or player. I feel like he's just super steady in how he handles just everything from I've never seen him like worked up or on edge about anything. And so it kind of makes it honestly even easier to believe in him, because it's just not that he's always going to do this, but just it's a very, very easy player to believe in.
Have you talked to him about it, where he traces the mindset to?
Not specifically, but I mean, he's been a lot of fun to play with. And like, it's fun for me too, having some more guys that are, like, we're at a point now where having some younger guys getting called up. And, you know, I was the youngest on the team for a long time. So it's cool to have, you know, more guys around that are more my age.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's interesting to like, see, there are some dudes who kill AAA, because I think Council used the words the other day, he conquered AAA. You know, like Michael Bush,
he conquered
it, right? He conquered it. But we've seen other guys who have conquered AAA and they come up and it doesn't quite go well. What's the difference now that you're seeing a lot of people? Like, why can some people adjust and some people struggle with it, to the best of your observance?
Man, that's tough. Yeah, I think just his pitch recognition is pretty impressive. Like, a lot of those at-bats that he's homered in, there's been like several of them have been two strike homers, and there's been a take before it that's like incredibly impressive and usually isn't out for anyone else. So I feel like he's a guy who can match up well with any type of pitcher, and just his strike zone awareness is really impressive. And then just the raw power, I think, is what has impressed a lot of us. Not just that he's homering, but these are long home runs.
They're fun as hell to watch.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, even his first homer at Wrigley was 109 off the bat, and it went in the basket, which is screwed up on so many levels. But the that might have been his hardest hit one so far, and it went the least far. So
so when you say pitch recognition, like, how, seeing if it's a fastball or breaking ball, what do you mean?
Yeah, just generally looks just confident and in control of the at bat at all times. Like, his ability to shut down on strike the ball off speed and but still be on time for fastballs is just really impressive. And even in the first like couple series when he hadn't gotten any results yet, so he's just put a lot of hard hit balls in play, was taking his walks. Like, it's a very consistent model, and now no surprise seeing him now what he's done at the AAA level in years past.
We're talking to Nico Horner, Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Talk to enough athletes, talk to you long enough to know that you guys do not react to the roller coaster of a season like fans do. But I am curious, like,
or at least we don't talk about it. We do, but yeah.
Okay. So, moment of honesty there. Appreciate it. Like, I'm watching. You guys are really good. You're clearly very talented, and you're winning and playing very well on the whole. Steele goes down. Merriweather goes down. Saya goes down. Obviously, Tyone's been down. I'm like, oh my God, I've seen injuries derail really talented teams that could have really special seasons. That's too many injuries for April 15th. I know the strength of the organization, blah, 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 is depth, but like, I start worrying about too many injuries piling up too soon. Do you?
I mean, I would love to have all those guys for sure. you know, that steal on opening day was just such a, it's just tough when you have someone who's at the heart of a team like that, and so much of our consistency. And like, but at the same time, it does create opportunity. And I think, you know, look, we'd love to have all those guys for the whole season, but you know, we have opportunities now to really establish strength in our team in other places, like what we saw yesterday out of the bullpen when we had a thin bullpen day, and you're able to have that many scoreless innings from you know, other parts of the bullpen that maybe would have been filled otherwise if everyone's at full strength. Or Ben Brown, the way he's emerged and what he's done, like, maybe we're probably not seeing that if Steele's healthy, and just things like that. And, you know, maybe the when those guys come back, we're at an even better version of ourselves, just because we've had the opportunity to see what some other guys are able to do. And you know, whether that's Canario getting some at bats now or things like that. There's just so much good that can come out of it if you're able to handle those things, as well as just handling adversity as a group. Like, I feel like we've kind of been through a lot for the first like couple weeks of a season, and obviously the record's in a good place, but you know, 10 game West Coast trip, like close games, honestly, a lot of us not performing at a super high level offensively. Like, it's important to be able to have things go wrong, but still keep things going, and that'll serve us well in the long run, I think.
Yeah, that's a good perspective. Like, if you come out of this stretch and start division games and you're 500 or a few above, that can be a good place to be. You mentioned the bullpen with the success last night. I'm happy for Keegan Thompson, man, to come back up. I mean, tell people that dude struggled up here and went down. You don't always get back up, and here he is with another chance.
Oof, yeah. I mean, the bullpen in general is just such a what they do down there is so challenging, and I just was so impressed by him, and obviously for the results that he got yesterday and to get the win for us, and you know, go multiple innings, but just the stuff that he showed, the velocity, the command, like, you know, we've seen him dominate at this level, and he provides a unique skill set with it being able to go multiple innings, which is huge when you're needing to eat innings for the bullpen. Just like, that was a plus mix that he was putting out there yesterday, and just so happy for him. That's just incredibly challenging to be doing the up and down thing and to have had success at this level, and just really, really excited for him.
You know, you're coming to us from what looks like a different hotel room, the road trip that you mentioned. You guys were under 500 on the road last year. It was obviously a huge part of the September problems. They didn't win a road series in September. But playing well on the road this year, like, does it matter, like, to have early success and prove that you can do it? Or was that just like a fluky thing last year, and there's not much difference between playing home and road?
No, I think there is a difference. Not so much talking about the road, but I think playing at Wrigley is real. Like, it's just, it's awesome. So it's like, it's very, I don't find it, I didn't know that stat off the top of my head, but like, I'm not surprised that we won more games at Wrigley. I know it's a pretty amazing place to play, and I do feel like it's unique in a lot of ways, and we do have an advantage when we play there, whether it's things that are real or just like a gut feeling that special things can happen. Like, I believe in that kind of thing. And I think, you know, you're down 6-1 and someone gets a hit, and it's just kind of like a murmur in the crowd, and then things build, and like, you know, that stuff is real. We feel that, and we'll never be able to quantify it, but I believe in that. But as far as yesterday, you know, we talked before about like, are all wins and losses created equal? And they are at the end of the year, but not to us. Like, it does matter. And it was a really exciting game to win because we were thin in our bullpen. We didn't swing the bats particularly well, but we found a way to win. And there's just like a sense of belief that comes out of those things, I think, especially early in the year on the road, end of a long road trip, all those things. And it was really cool to see.
You know, you mentioned, Nico, that like, you guys have been through a lot. You have, even just on this road trip, man, there's a walk-off pickoff. There's a walk-off pickoff on Sunday. That was bananas. And after that game, Danny and I were talking about it yesterday. Got to make the next trip to Seattle with the Cubs. That looked electric. There were Cub fans out there. It's a great city. You had an off day out there too. Did you get a chance to really feel Seattle and hang out a little bit?
Yeah. I actually really love Seattle a lot. Spent a lot of time there because three or four of my best friends from high school live out there. We had a very fun off day. Got some good sushi. Got around the city. It was pretty out. Rainier was out. It was beautiful, sunny, mountains, everything. So, yeah, it's a great city. And it was a little chilly some of those games, but it was a good atmosphere. And cool for me because I hadn't played there yet. So always cool to go to a new stadium.
And then you took 2 out of 3 and picked off their superstar to end the series. That'll work.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Those double plays at the end of the game on Sunday were some high stress moments, but those are like an infielder's dream to be able to make, you know, double plays in a big situation to prevent runs. And it's just cool to win in different ways. You know, we had the wins early in the year where we were scoring a ton of runs, and then it go the other way. And I think that we do have a group that can play all brands of baseball, and I think there's value in that.
Was thinking about you today as I read about young contact hitters who have added power. I was like, oh, look at this. This is interesting. It was an article about like Stephen Kwan and I forget who else. Jackson Merritt. Oh, C.J. Abrams. C.J. Abrams. And I'm like,
yeah, he's been impressive.
Right? And so I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I could learn anything. But it seems like everybody's story is so individual. Like, can you even learn from stuff like that? Do you read other people's stories? Or is it so individual that it's difficult to glean anything in that way?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we players learn from each other a lot. I think it can be tough to learn from how things are shown, like in a video or an article, because I feel like you're often like missing like the core stuff with the players getting at. But I think talking to guys, there's a lot of so many teammates that I've learned from, and Stephen Kwan is someone I grew up playing against a lot when we were like 10 and 11.
Wow.
He's from the same area, and he's a really, really smart guy and great athlete. Played against him in college a ton. So it has been cool. That was a good example of a guy just like seen play forever and just continuing to like find little ways to get better. And it's just not surprising to me that he's had so much success at the big league level and is continuing to improve, just as a, knowing like kind of some of the personality behind it and stuff. Like, really smart guy and great athlete. So it's cool to see.
Well, congrats on having a signature game. We're calling it the Nico game, and we'd like you again to grade the performance. How do you think we did this week?
That's a good question.
Good. Hey, it's easy when things are going well.
All right.
Smile.
All right.
Is that in front of the laundry back there? Those doors behind
no,
you?
No, it's the doors to the bedroom.
Oh,
multi-room suite.
Wow.
On the road.
Fancy.
Big league living.
Oops. Man.
Nice, nice hotels. My God. Nico, thanks, man. We'll see you back at Wrigley soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. That's Nico Horner.
Dude's got a suite on the road. I wonder if he had it. Wonder if he had it before the game. If like, you played well.
He gets to upgrade.
Yeah, he gets
in the
to
middle
upgrade.
Of a trip.
And somebody gets to upgrade in the middle of a middle of a road trip.
Like, they take a player out of the suites. Like, hey, you not so much.
Bellinger, 0-for-4,
Cody,
really?
Yeah, you're getting under a lot of balls there at the plate. You're going to have to give up that room.
Sweet relegation.
Why not?
They should.
Whatever works, man. You know, got to inspire those players somehow.
Right, Hayward had it in his contract that he got a sweet, but he would always gift it to people, or did he give his suite to David Ross?
He gifted Ross with a suite.
But it was
Ross's
in his
final
contract
year.
That he got a suite on the road, and he gifted his suite to Ross and like took the standard room.
He bought an entire other suite for the season for David Ross, actually.
I know he did that.
Yeah, he just vowed to pay for his suite every road trip.
Yeah.
For him and his whole family.
And his family. And every time I hear that story, if I'm David Ross, I'm like, thanks, Jason. Appreciate that.
Now I got to stay with my family.
And now he's divorced.
He
so
it's true.
Maybe that's on Jason Hayward.
I wasn't sure if I was going to mention that, but yeah.
Maybe it's all over People Magazine. He was dating the woman from Chicago Med for a while.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I thought Jason Hayward bought an entire hotel. everywhere they went, he bought a hotel.
The Cubs are staying at the Hilton. David Ross will be at the DoubleTree himself.
It's funny. I was thinking about I recorded the other day with Kevin Brown, your fellow Syracuse alum.
Yeah.
And friend Kevin Brown, the Orioles broadcaster. But his namesake, Kevin Brown.
The pitcher.
Yeah. I always think of him because that's the first one. The big money deal he signed with the Dodgers way back when.
Wasn't it the first $100 million pitcher contract?
I think it was.
I think it was. Did Mike Hampton sign one?
Hampton signed one in Colorado.
Yeah.
But I want to say
Kevin Brown was the first
Kevin Brown sticks
nine-figure
out.
Deal. Yeah.
Sticks out as a real big one. And I remember reading the details of that contract and being like, oh, my God. It's like he got a suite at each stadium on the road just in case he felt like inviting people to the game.
They're fun.
Like, we'll go ahead and give you a luxury suite at every ballpark that we play at for every game on the road. And I was like, that seems nice. Seems like a good perk.
Seems a little excessive.
Completely excessive. What if your family's not coming? What if you only know one or two people? What if they want to sit close? Does that mean the suite is getting unused on the road? What the hell's going on here?
Hopefully donate it. Yeah, but then that's a lot of logistical planning. It's like, I got to find someone to donate a suite to in Detroit.
Yeah, here. It's like giving somebody gift certificates to a specific restaurant, you know?
Hey, guys, thanks for this suite at Busch Stadium. My boys are pumped to come to Busch Stadium and see me pitch.
Don't need this one. Thank you.
Can I cash it out?
Appreciate that.
And an unused suite means an unused dessert cart, and we
can't have that.
We can't stand for that. Yeah. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, Tanny missed yesterday when we assigned the White Sox MVP award to the Campfire Milkshake.
We're hoping that Garrett Crochet or someone else can overtake it, but
it's early.
It's very early.
Yeah, those guys, maybe Nick Nastrini, somebody could have a big year and overtake the Campfire Milkshake. But right now, if you had to give out an MVP award,
I think it would be unanimous. I don't even think that there would be a second
that's
place
who gets it.
Vote. So, congratulations.
Yeah,
to
Crochet
the
can have second. He can have second.
A distant second.
Gavin Sheets is having a nice start to the year.
Okay, that's enough.
That's top five.
Jed Hoyer will join us during our normal polls position segment. How long will I be able to go before I ask him about the ninth overall pick? It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.